All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Hey, go to the website and sign up for next week's poker tournament at the Commerce Casino. And that is on Thursday, next Thursday, a week from yesterday. Yeah, a week from next. It's the 27th. You figure it out. But anyway, we'll be at the Commerce Casino. And to sign up for the tournament, go to the website, 971freefm.com. 971freefm.com. And go under contest page and sign up for that tournament. About 400 to 500 listeners will be down there, all playing poker. It's free to sign up. It's free to play. And they're giving away about $6,000 in prizes. And the players also get free food as well. So it's a great deal. And if you can't make that, maybe you can make this Thursday. Jesus, Thursday, the day after tomorrow already? I think it is. We're going to be at the Staples Center watching the L.A. Avengers take on the Philadelphias down there. So try to make it on down there. We're going to be up in a suite. All right. With us is world-renowned psychiatrist, psychiatrist, right?
Psychiatrist.
I've seen him on CNN. He's been on everything. Good Morning America, The Today Show, The View. The guy's all over the joint, man. Nobody's on TV more than this Dr. Sophie, man. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Nice to see you, man.
Nice to see you, too.
Now, if you have a problem in your relationship, let's say something's going on between you and the wife, you and the kids, and you don't want to pay the his hourly fee. What is your hourly fee? Is it a couple hundred bucks?
Yeah, a couple hundred.
If you don't feel like paying that, we're going to give you some free advice here. Dr. Sophie, man, he can knock you out with his free advice. So whether you hate your kids, whether your kids hate you, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, last time you were in here, I asked you for your recommendation for a doctor in the Valley, all right?
Yeah.
And you gave me the name Dr. Daryl Ballin. Can you hear that? Oh, the volume adjustment's right there. You got to put it all the way up. Up is on. There you go. Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. No, yeah. Put the headphones on.
And do my volume.
There you go.
Ooh,
how's that?
That's
loud. Look at you. All right.
The
only doctor I've ever known where he thinks that volume, that turn it on, you push it down. All right. But maybe his advice that he gets out is better. All right. Now, doctor, you set me up with a guy named Dr. Daryl Ballin.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And I go to his office a couple weeks ago.
It's a gynecologist?
No, he's if you did, it would, I think I had the same exam with Daryl. But I go into his office and he comes in. He goes, hey, it's been a long time. I say, I've seen you here before. He says, no. I went to elementary school and junior high with you. I said, oh, yeah, Daryl Ballin, his brother Mitch Ballin, yeah, the whole family. And so I said, that's really odd. And then I thought to myself, well, he's my brother's age, so he's a year younger than I am. And I do remember him from, junior high and elementary school. And he's talking to me about, he says, I don't smoke enough, I don't drink enough, the whole run.
Yeah.
Actually, he's against all that crap, like all you doctors are. There's one big conspiracy that smoking and drinking is bad for you. But he says to me, you got to stop this, and this. And I said, okay. And I think he and I were both putting off the prostate exam.
Because
I'd known the guy since he was in third grade. And it was going to be really weird for me. So we talk about BSing, and so all of a sudden, he starts putting on a glove. He's like, let's get to business.
That's right.
Drop those shorts. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a little different than Encino Elementary, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh,
this isn't the locker room.
All right. Now, you deal mostly with family issues. Is that right?
Yeah, relationship, families, kids, all that kind of stuff.
Now, I saw you on CNN. What were we doing there? It was actually during the show, so I couldn't turn the volume up.
We were talking about that school shooting in Ventura County.
Oh, yeah.
And really some of the issues that have come out of that.
Now, that one was with the gay kid up in Ventura?
Yes.
And what was the issue? Were you talking to the class? Were you talking to the school?
Anderson Cooper.
You talking to Anderson Cooper?
Yeah, he was interviewing me about, what did we learn from this? What do we take home? How do we change things? How do we prevent this? How does this even happen?
Right. And how does that happen in Ventura? I mean, that happened awfully close to Los Angeles. You'd think that happened way out in the sticks.
Not necessarily. It happens where there's a lot of not good parental education, where kids are allowed to really have feelings like hate and not have any kind of coping skills.
Right.
And that's what happened. I mean, this kid got irritated by the gay teen.
Right.
And he released his anger. I mean, he had access to a gun, which I wonder how that happened.
Right.
Takes it to school
and shoots the kid to death.
Absolutely.
And he was in the hospital for a few days and then I believe died, right?
Correct.
And that kind of of anger. Does that come from parents?
Well, I mean, it's not the anger that comes from parents. It's learning how to tolerate that. It's learning what is that anger. It's parents really being keyed into their kid. I mean, how does a kid get a gun? I mean, that's an issue that we need to look at. I also think that...
How old was the kid who shot the other kid?
15.
And he got a gun, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I think it's an issue. I mean, we have to look at intolerance. We have to help our kids learn and deal with their feelings. They're going to see all kinds of things that are going to stir up feelings in them. Hate, self-hate, all that kind of stuff. They have to learn how to tolerate it and cope. You can't shoot.
All right. Now, I sort of use this as an hourly session for myself once in a while, and I've been accused of that. So if you accuse me of that again, it's old news, gang. All right? You can get over it. You can stop calling. It's old effing news. But this happened with my – I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, Sophia.
You had one last time.
Yeah, I still got her. She's sticking around,
That's
man.
That's good.
You know what they don't, tell you when you have kids.
She shouldn't be up this late, by the way.
I know. Dude, she's up later than this. Trust me. But when you have kids, they don't tell you that a naked, broke, homeless person is going to start living with you who needs food and can't earn a living.
Right, and then tells you what to
do. And
is
going to cry and S all over this place.
Right.
I mean, if you were to take that from a doll, you'd go, get the F out of here.
Right, even if it was your mother.
Yes. Yeah, wouldn't take that from anybody.
Right.
But you take it from these little children, and they are the best things on the planet. Now, I never wanted to have kids. I always was anti-kids. I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to have kids. No marriage, no kids, no marriage, no kids. I got married. I had a kid. And the only regret that I have is that I didn't do it 15 years earlier.
Why?
Because she's the best thing on the planet. I mean, I can't wait to see her every night when I get home. I can't wait to wake up and and have breakfast with her or have lunch with her. We go to California Pizza Kitchen every day, and she has a little cheese pizza. She enjoys that. And she usually crayons, colors the pizza, and
I'm
then eats
you,
it.
The best part of life.
But it's the greatest part of life.
Yes, it
having
is.
A child is the best thing on the planet.
Yep.
Now, it does come with its trials.
Yes.
And we went through a very trying period a little while ago when my my daughter broke something in a store. And my wife grabbed her and just tapped her on the hand. You're like, no, you shouldn't do that. My daughter cold cocks my wife, smacks her right in the face. What do you do? Hey, Jerry, please.
You don't do that. You tell her no.
I did that.
Right. Because she did what you wanted to do to your wife.
That's not true. I love my wife.
It's the state she's in, the terrible twos. That's why they have the name. You got to really,
But what do you do when a kid punches you in the face?
Well, you say, that wasn't nice. I mean, after you get the bleeding stopped and you get ice on
it. But does she understand that wasn't nice?
A little bit. She probably doesn't understand the impact of what she did. She's just flailing around trying to send a message to you. No.
No, she popped her. I mean, she hit her with a good right.
Well.
I mean, it was a decent right in her eye.
Look at who her father is.
Yeah, right in the face.
But you got to correct her. Nail it right there. You got to nip it.
And when you do that, you don't hit them.
No.
When do you hit them?
Never.
No, really?
You wait till they hit you.
Oh, I see. Well, that's what she did.
You never hit them. You love them.
But didn't Chris Rock say they're not yours until you hit them?
That's what he said.
Yeah. I mean, don't all kids... I mean, I was smacked around by my mom pretty good when I was a kid.
Different generation.
Is that different generation?
Yeah.
Is there something bad about that? You know what?
Probably, yeah.
All right, Dr. Sophie is with us. If you have a question for him, he specializes in family therapy. And so if something's going on with that stupid family of yours, it's out of control. Call us here at the station, and Dr. Sophie will have the answer for you. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. All right, now when you get, with kids and reprimanding them and stuff like that, showing them boundaries, nobody on the planet really has, a plan for their kid once they're born. I mean, you just play it by ear and every day is different.
Yeah.
But nobody teaches you how to be a father or how to be a good father or a good mother.
Right. I mean, you're going to pull from what you had and what kind of parents you had, what you know didn't work for you, what you liked, what you didn't like. But really the key that I tell every parent is you got to get yourself balanced first. You got to be a whole person so that you know where you're heading after that. And then it's up to you. I mean, your kid comes out with a personality already there. You got to kind of deal with what they're giving you.
Yeah. No, but my daughter, I tell you, the best thing on the planet.
It gets better. It gets much better.
What are the best years?
Probably like 4 to 8 when they're really starting to interact with you. They hold your hand. They're happy to be with you. They have an opinion. It's adorable. Adorable. I mean, my kid told me tonight, he was mad at me for something. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm moving out. I said, did you
need
a ride?
Was he 22?
Yeah, he's 6. Do you need a ride? I said. He's like, no, I think I'll stay.
Why did he get so pissed? What'd you do to him?
I told him it was dinner and he wanted to golf.
Ah, all right. We got to get him on Ritalin right away, right?
He is.
Oh, he's okay. Now, what do those the drugs work with kids? You don't recommend that, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big drug person for kids. I really think that we need to take a look at what we're doing with this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm the medical director of the foster care system here in L.A., and we have a lot of kids that are on meds that we're really starting to look at. And are we just putting Band-Aids on symptoms that we really should be treating deeper issues?
Right. Now, how bad is the foster kid system, or is it decent? I only hear bad things about
it. We've got a pretty decent system as far as being, you know, we're the largest one in probably the country, second to New York. We alternate that.
But right, now, who's in foster care? Is it kids whose parents are in jail, parents don't want them?
No, I mean, you know, we have a child abuse hotline. Our hotline gets, you know, anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 calls per month. We go out on these calls and investigate whether it's something we need to intervene and take a child from a family till they can get themselves together.
Is that Child Protective Services?
Yes.
That's what you do?
Yes.
All right. Now, I've heard also that you guys have the ability to go to somebody's house and look through the entire house, make sure they have the proper food, the proper sleeping area.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're all about child protection, so safety, permanence, and, you know, we're looking at risk and safety of kids.
And so the parents, if you go to somebody's house and say, we're here from Child Protective Services, we're going to come and look at your house, if they say, get the F out of here, do you call the cops?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And LAPD makes them open the door.
Right, and if we feel we're going to have that situation before we get there, then they meet us there.
Oh, is that right? And that happens pretty often?
Not often. I mean, most parents are pretty open to it because they know they're in need of some kind of support.
Right.
And that's where we go. We want to go to support them.
Right. Now, this happened to a friend of mine. It happened to his friend. Actually, it didn't happen to him. But he called his son a bad word. I think he called him an mother effer and then a blank sucker. Right.
Bad news, boys.
That's what he called his 7-year-old kid. So his 7-year-old kid tells the teacher.
Of course.
The teacher calls Child Protective Services. God only knows why.
Because she's a mandated reporter of child abuse.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Being a teacher?
Uh-huh.
You have to be.
Uh-huh.
You've got to make that call?
Uh-huh.
Can't you say, hey, maybe dad's just screwing around?
Mm-mm.
All right. So then the Child Protective Services shows up, and they were threatening to take the kid away from this guy just because he swore at his kid. Mm-hmm. Where are we nowadays?
Well, we're into protecting our kids.
Yeah, but swearing at him isn't a big deal.
But it's abuse.
How abusive is that? I want to abuse, I think, is taking a golf club and breaking it over a kid's back.
Okay.
Calling the kid, you drop a, the kid drops a hot, a cup of coffee on your foot and you go, ah, F it. God damn it, you bastard.
Right.
And that brings you guys around, huh?
If somebody calls us, yeah.
Wow.
And we got to investigate it.
Jesus Christ.
You know, because where there's smoke, sometimes there's fire. So mandated reporters are going to call it in because we got to see, was that just a dad who was angry or is that something that happens on a regular basis? And this kid is subjected to that.
All right. But let's say the kid's swearing. All right. Now, because my daughter occasionally hears the F word. God only knows where she gets it from.
Her mother.
But she was, the other night at dinner, she had dropped something on the floor and she goes, oh, F, right? And we said, you can't use that term. That's bad. I don't know is that the proper thing to do?
Yeah, and then you also have to stop using it.
I don't know how to do that, Doug.
Yeah.
I could give up cigarettes, gambling, beer, and the racetrack, everything. I don't know how to stop swearing.
When you look in her eyes, you'll stop.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when the kids start swearing, is that an alarm that the teacher goes, hey, wait a minute, that kid's 4 and using the F word?
Uh-huh.
And then the Child Protective Services come out?
Well, she'll probably say to you, little Susie's been cursing in class. Is she hearing that somewhere?
And I'll say, yeah, right effing here.
Right,
baby.
Right
here, ma'am. And I would move to another country before I gave in to those teachers. I don't think that my kid's going to do well in a classroom situation. I think she's already, we were at the racetrack the other day. Let me see if this would bring Child Protective Services out.
It's almost like you want me to come out.
No, if my picture ever comes across your desk, I hope you give me the professional courtesy of looking the other way. But
can't do that.
But my daughter the other day is at Santa Anita. I'm sitting there with her. I'm holding her. And I'm saying, come on with this 3. 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 The whole way home, my daughter. Come on with this 3. Come on with this 3.
Tell her it's a new song. Here she is again. She's still up.
Now, this is my daughter repeating something that Tom Likas says. And he always says, if you're going to get rid of a girl, you dump that bitch. Mm. And my daughter occasionally hears the Tom Likas show, and she sort of picked up on it.
That's great. We'll be right out.
Right.
What's your address?
You're going to follow me home, right?
Yep.
All right. Let's take some phone calls here. Mark in Newport Beach, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
My question is this. I have a six-year-old kid. He's been kicked out of, like, I don't know, 8 daycares, aggressive behavior. Finally, about a month ago, somebody turned us on to the fact that there might be a link between red dye 40 and aggressive behavior with kids. And we took them off everything with red, which is just about everything that kids eat, and have had no problems in the last month.
Wow. Red dye 40, is that food coloring?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in everything. Everything they eat, it's in it. And I mean, we've had amazing results, and after 3 years of misery, I'm just curious if there actually is a link or not, or if we've just been lucky for a month.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, buddy.
I've seen a lot of issues, and that's why I'm not big on medicine until you really figure out what's going on with their sleeping, with their eating, with all those kinds of things, because you can manipulate something as simple as that and get a good result. So good for you.
Right. And how much is too much video every day?
It depends on the age, yeah. But, I mean, the younger they are, like your daughter at 2.5, maybe, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes above of a good video, maybe a half an hour, depends.
You mean per hour?
No.
A day?
Yeah, otherwise you want to stimulate her in other ways.
Wait a minute, 10 minutes of video a day?
No, 10 minutes. No, okay, let's do an hour.
An hour
total
a day.
Total.
I don't know.
And not all at once.
I don't know what household you grew up in, my brother.
It's like interacting with your kid.
I do that. I interact with her all the time while she's watching Dora.
Exactly.
Yeah, she enjoys that.
Right.
All right, Nick in Orange County, you're on 97.1 Free FM. Dr. Sophie's with us.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
What do you got?
I got two boys, 11, and the older one, the 11, he's very abusive to his younger brother.
How abusive?
I don't know how to make him to stop doing that.
How abusive?
He, you know, call him stupid, you know, call him word name, you know, say a lot of...
Does he physically hit him?
Sometimes.
And do you guys jump in?
Yeah, and, you know, I just have to time him out.
Yeah. But you also, he's probably looking for some attention from you guys. Do you spend time with your kids alone, separately?
Yeah.
Okay. And how's he doing in school?
He's doing fine in school, both of them, yeah.
Yeah. You just got to set some strong limits at home, and then you have to have consequences. If he's going to do something to his brother, you got to hold him accountable and kind of, you know, let him know it's a bad choice.
Or have you thought about this? Have you thought about tying little razors to their feet and a little cockfighting?
Right.
You know? Fight to the death. And you got one great son.
Don't listen to him.
You got one son who is real kick-ass.
Right.
And the other one's no longer around.
You got to be clear with him.
All right. Now raising kids is fantastic, but I think a lot of people judge you by your child's behavior when a lot of time it's not your fault.
Right.
You know? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. You do your best. That's it.
I have a friend who's an actor. Not a friend. I've worked with him a couple of times back when I had a show business career. But he's an actor. His older brother is a rabbi, and his younger brother is on death row for killing two guys in a liquor store holdup. All three were raised by the same parents. One on death row, one's a rabbi, and one's an actor.
Genetics. Lot of it.
But but I think more people should look at genetics when their kids F up than blame the parents.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, you've got to look at the nature and the nurture side of everything.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, like, you know, they blame the parents. You know, your kid rips off a car, and you go, wow, that's bad parenting.
Yeah, I know that. Unfortunately, that's where people go right away. But when that dust settles, you really have to look at other things.
Yeah.
All right.
Dr. Sophie is with us, man. This guy knows more about your family than you do, probably. Mm-hmm. Call us here at the radio station. You got a question, especially if your family is a disaster. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. What's your website over there?
DrSophie.com.
DrSophie.com. S-O-P-H-Y?
Yep.
S-O-P-H-Y.
Yep.
DrSophie.com. S-O-P-H-Y. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. Dr. Sophie's with us. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, gang. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Dr. Charlie Sophie is with us. Charlie, right? You go by Charlie or Charles?
Either one.
Oh. And you can also check him out on his website, drsophie.com. right? Dr. Sophie.
Right. Thank you.
And he is a family psychiatrist. He also is the big cheese down at Child Protective Services. So
one of them.
Any of you lunatics out there is going to smack your kids around. You might be able to meet him one day. Do you have a badge you carry around with you?
I do. Yeah.
You do, really?
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to show up to a house, it's all really official.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, you know, we work. We represent the government.
Yeah. I'd rather see you come to my house though than my mother-in-law.
Yeah. Great.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Does she have a badge too?
No, she does not, but I like to give her one. All right, gang, if you have a question for Dr. Sophie, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, you say autism is still affecting a lot of kids. I guess one in 169, or I don't know what the odds are,
well,
or the numbers are.
The awareness is a lot more raised, which is good. I mean, we're able to catch kids a lot earlier with any of the kinds of symptoms or signs and get them connected to an evaluation and some treatment. And it's great because these kids can get through this spectrum of disorders and really have a okay life.
Now, does autism affect you later on in life?
It doesn't have to. So that's why. I mean, the earlier the interventions and the diagnostic process, the better your outcome will be.
And you said one of the cures, or at least a preliminary one, is high cholesterol, giving you more cholesterol?
There's a study coming out of a university that shows that treating with some supplements of cholesterol may, you know, get rid of some of these behaviors. And I'm sure there's a lot of work that needs to go into it, but I just read that the other day.
And what is the, a steady diet of tacos and Tommy's Burgers?
You got it.
And that'll keep them healthy, huh?
Shove that in your three-year-old.
You know what? McDonald's should take that information and shove it in the faces of all these people who are anti-McDonald's years.
Right.
Say, F you. We've cured all your kids from autism.
We've saved you.
Yeah, come on in. You know, it's drive-through autism treatment. That's what it is.
Right.
All right, let's talk to Ralph in Culver City. Ralph, you're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
I got a question. Little League and T-ball, seems like I don't want to, display any type of anger in front of any parents, but I do want my son to, you know, not only listen to the coach, but, like, you know, he told a kid the other day, what are you looking at? And I try not to, you know, be too much of a micromanager, but I can't really help it. I don't want to, you know, my biggest fear is for him to be at school and, like, pop off to a kid like that, get in a fight or something like that. He's only six, but he knows how to press my buttons. He'll tell me, you know, he doesn't even like baseball anyway and, you know, this and that. So I was wondering, you know, instead of, like, getting in his face and yelling at him about, you know, behave yourself, what's the best way to kind of deal with something like that?
The best way is probably to have a nice talk before you get there. Tell him what the parameters are, what you'll tolerate, what you won't, what is okay, what is not. And then if he blows it, you got to leave at that point. But you have to tell him on the way, if we're not able to really get through this without you doing what I don't want you to do, then we're going to leave. And then you have to follow through and leave. So he gets the message that you mean what you say.
See, my advice would have been different. My advice would be, you know, just start drinking more.
Right.
And, ignoring the problem.
The truth is, I'm not going to, like, leave because I'm not going to, like, show him, like, you know, he's going to play baseball. I mean, that's just how it's going to go down. I just don't want him to.
What if he doesn't like the game, though? What if he truly doesn't like it?
He's only six. I mean, I'm sure he'll like it. And if he's miserable playing, you know, then I would not keep signing him up. But
Right. But you know what, Ralph? I think that guys like you are what make professional athletes. You know, guys that say, listen, you're going to play baseball, and eventually, you know, they enjoy the game. And, like, Jim Gott comes in, and he tells us stories about his father. And his father pushed him in the game, and, you know, he didn't like it for a while. He wanted to do it. He wanted to get out of it, despite his father. And he became a professional baseball player, which is, you know, nearly impossible to do in this country.
How does your son do in other, like, areas? He's school and all that kind of stuff. He's doing okay.
Awesome in school. He's great on the computer.
He's good at home.
He's not very athletic, but I'll tell you what. I think it's just a matter of communicating more, I guess.
Absolutely. That's what I would do. Communicate with him. Let him know what your limits are and what your expectations are, and, you know, let him know. And you got to be clear about it.
Cool.
What if he wanted to become a choreographer?
Well, then, I don't know, man. Those chicks on Dancing with the Stars would be hot. I wouldn't mind.
That's right. He might bring them home.
All right, get out of here, you jackass. What's wrong with you? All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, the competitive nature, you know, when it comes to kids, and this happened to when my daughter occasionally goes to this gym, you know, with the, you know, plays with other kids and stuff. She enjoys that. And the... the one kid was really aggressive and, you know, wanting to win at all the games they were playing and the little basketball thing they had. And she kept saying, hey, no, don't be so aggressive. Don't, you know, don't play so hard with these kids. But that kid was their same age. And I think if you keep telling a kid that, that they don't become competitive, they don't keep scoring soccer anymore, from what I understand, at that age. And where do kids learn that you've got to be competitive in the world or you're not going
to
make it?
Well, I mean, you have to be clear. I mean, there's a time and a place for it, and there should be some limits to allow them to exercise their aggressiveness. I mean,
right.
That's what they're there for, to get it out.
Yeah.
But you can't squash it. So it's a balance.
And all right.
You know.
All right. What's a good way to get a kid to sleep? What do you recommend? Exercise? Run her around?
Yeah, run her around. No,
try to get some baby sleeping pills in her?
Structure. Consistency. Stick to a structure. Eat at the same time, as close to a time as you can. You get them. They're little machines, and they start working, and you know, and then they can count on sleep. At 7 o'clock, I get a bath. At 8 o'clock, we get a story, and I'm asleep by 8:15 or 8:30. Structure and consistency.
I see. All right.
Like, you don't like that, do you?
Well, the only problem with that is that
there's a horse race on during that time, huh?
You nailed it. No, but the problem is I'm not good. I don't come from a very structured home.
Right.
Although my mom tried structure for a while, but I don't know what happened there. Right. She tried like dinner at 5:30 and nobody was home for it. Right. And then, you know, you got to go to church on Easter Sunday. I remember she'd say, you got to get to effing mass on Sunday or you will go to hell. I remember those 14 words.
Do you understand, though, the structure and the consistency really build a foundation of self-esteem and trusting others? I'm going to eat at a certain time. I'm going to sleep. They can count on that stuff.
Right. Now, what about kids who have separation anxiety? Where does that come from?
It's probably a routine part of their normal development. It depends on when it's happening. I mean, if they're your age and they're still having it, that's an issue. But, you know, if they're two, they're supposed to have it.
All right. This is something that I think I've got to work on, and it drives my wife crazy, is I'll be sitting around, like, the living room. And her mind's always working. I mean, she's much smarter than I am. She reads, and she's very bright and funny. But I'm just sort of like when I get home, I'm just like I just sit there. So she asked me the other day. I was sitting in the living room. And she said, "So what are you thinking about?" And I said, "Really nothing." And she goes, "How is that possible?" I said, "Honest to God, I wasn't even thinking about anything. I mean, I think guys have the ability to shut their minds off and just sit there, and women don't understand that." And my daughter's the same way. She's constantly thinking about stuff and constantly doing things, you know, wants to run around. And she runs and runs and runs until she passes out.
Right.
You know? And that's pretty healthy to do, huh?
Yeah, it's the nature of the beast.
All right. Dr. Sophie's with us, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Sam on the 405, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Good night, gentlemen.
Hey.
Great show, by the way. I have a question. I have a four-year-old son. He's very good at school, and he's very good at communication with the other kids. But the only problem is when it comes to our family in home, he hit me or his mom. Like, he's very aggressive in home, and he tried to command us to do stuff. Like, I want this, I want it. But when we go outside, he's very good, and he's very friendly. I mean, he's very smart. That's what his teacher said.
All right, so he's smart and friendly outside the house, then he's a terror inside the house.
Typical, doctor? Yeah, he's trying to get control from you guys. Do you give it up easy?
Yeah, do you give him control, Sammy?
No, not easy.
Okay, but you got to be consistent. Like, you know, let him know what battles he can win and let him know what battles he's not going to win and what when he doesn't win, what the consequence will be. But you got to let him win a little bit, too. He's, what, 4.5? Yeah, he's starting to get, you know, intelligent. He knows. He wants some more power in the house. So give him some age-appropriate decisions to make. Allow him to pick maybe what dinner might be or what you're going to do for an activity. Give him some control because he's fighting for it.
Right. And what do you think about taking these kids to, you know, I'm not talking about museums. Like, I'm not going to take my daughter up to the Getty Museum. She'll, you know, probably break something. It'll cost me $2 million.
Right.
But what about taking them to, like, what do you do when you take a kid out? Chuck E. Cheese, the zoo?
There's a ton of
aquarium.
Great small museums to go to.
Yeah, the problem with the children museums is they're so filthy.
Great place is Storyopolis. It's a great bookstore. You could sit there with your kids. They have great puppet shows. They do a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, my daughter loves the bookstores.
Yeah, go to Storyopolis.
Yeah, she goes to one on what's the one on Havenhurst and Ventura?
Yep.
Brentano's or Borders, or whatever the hell it is. All right, 520-9710, 888-520-9710.
There's another great museum I really think people need to know about, the Zimmer Museum. It's right up the street here. Great.
Zimmer Museum?
Z-I-M-M-E-R.
What do they got there?
Lots of great stuff. Really interactive stuff, out-of-the-box kinds of great stuff. About cultures, teaching good cultures, understanding. It's really interesting.
What age is age appropriate to take your kid to the Museum of Tolerance?
I'd say the Museum of Tolerance, probably around
30?
I don't know. 40? No, like 6 is a good age.
6?
Yeah, they can really start to integrate that.
Is that right?
Yeah. They start at 2, though.
Wait a minute. Who starts at 2?
The age limit there. I mean, the age range. You can start there at 2.
Is that right?
Yeah, they'll get something out of it. But 6 is really where they can get the most out of it.
But taking a 2-year-old to a museum, don't you just annoy everybody else that's there?
Yeah, you give them to your nanny and walk away.
Okay. All right, gang. Here are the phone numbers, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Dr. Sophie is with us. Check him out on his website, drsophy.com, drsophy.com. And he'll have tons of information there for you. Now, do you do private practice? Can somebody go see you?
Yeah, I have a practice in Beverly Hills.
Look at part-time. You, man. All right. You married, single?
I'm married. I'm in a relationship.
With a kid?
With a 6-year-old.
Oh, boom, boom. Look at you. All right. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
He's Conway. He's Whitman. Oh, wait a minute. No, he's Whitman. Ah, who cares? There'll be another guy in here in 2 weeks.
Brian will be reporting in by speakerphone.
Conway and Whitman, 97.1 KLSX, the FM talk station.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Dr. Sophie is with us. You may have seen him on CNN. What other national TV have you done? You've done a lot, huh?
High Village. In the Loop, I've done
Jesus Christ,
Access
Fire.
Hollywood.
Access Hollywood.
Lots
man.
Of PBS that's coming out in the next couple of months.
All right. And where'd you go to your schooling? Where'd you do that?
All in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yep.
All right. And he's moved out here. He's got a family out here. And he's he works in a very honorable business. He tries to make kids' lives better. All right. Essentially, that's what he does for a living. You break it down. Yep. Let's talk to Javier and Downey. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
All right, what do you got?
Well, I just want to comment. I mean, I see around, and you know, all these American people are just, you know, they raise their children like crap. You know, I mean, they feed them fast food, they do all these things, and it's just crazy. And I go to a lot of family parties, things, and I see, you know, children's 2, 3, 4 years old, and they're giving them pizza, things like that, when they don't even have to be eating this kind of things.
And, right. Where are you from?
From Downey.
I know, but are you American?
Oh, no. I'm from Peru.
Peru, oh, okay. Right.
Well, you know what? I think you're right. I mean, I'm a big believer of getting back to basics with your family, eating at home, spending time with your family, and you don't have to do all the craziness that's going on out there.
Right. How old are you?
I'm 18.
18. Wow. And were you raised in Peru?
No, I was actually raised in Germany.
Germany.
Yes. I was born in Peru, and I moved to Germany when I was 6.
Your dad in the Army or Navy?
No. Just trying to start a new life with the family at different
Is he dodging the IRS? That's why he's moving all over the world?
No. My parents are actually both Peruvian, and they moved to Germany to try to start a new life because the economy in Peru was really bad.
Right.
And then we ended up moving over here. But my point was actually, you know, when I raised my kids, you know, until the day that they don't have to.
Have you got kids?
No, I don't.
Well, then good night. Please, get out of here. You're an idiot. If you don't have kids, then don't tell us how to raise our own kids, all right? Until you have kids, until you go through all the trauma of having your own, then call back. But don't tell us how great your father you are when you got no kids. Tony in Riverside, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
I have an adult problem.
Are you got an adult problem?
An adult problem, yes. I have a wife who's bipolar and OCD. And she's driving my 17-year-old daughter and I crazy.
Is she treated?
Yeah, she's on Luvox and Seroquel.
Okay. Do you talk to her doctor? Do you go into her treatment with her? And
She doesn't go to treatment anymore. She doesn't go to the therapy. She just takes the pills. And sometimes she's okay, but when she's okay, I have to acknowledge that she's being okay and give her the pat on the back, like, good job for, I mean, not only do I have to deal with the craziness of the bipolar and OCD, but then when it's not there, I have to deal with the tell me how good I'm doing because I'm not.
Well, you know what? I would tell you, you got to go talk to somebody so you can get this kind of stuff outside.
How long have you been married?
14 years.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, go talk to somebody. You'll see. It'll stir it up for you, and it'll get a direction going for
you.
Was
she always like that?
Nah, it's just the last few years. Since my daughter started having friends and wanting to leave the house.
Oh, you have a suggestion where you can go?
Well, where do you live?
In Riverside.
Yeah, do you have insurance?
Yeah, Kaiser.
Yeah, go to Kaiser and let them give you a referral. You got to go talk to somebody. You got to get this out.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right, and you're a big stud, Tony.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
All right, there you go, dude.
I have a big stud also.
All right, thanks, man. What about me? Well, you're a big stud, too. I mean, it's like what guys like to hear. You know, like chicks like to hear that they're beautiful, that they're smart, that they're funny. Guys like to hear two things. You're a stud and you got a big Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two things guys like to hear. All right, let's talk to Mosky, I believe. Is that the name? Mosky, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Yeah, it's actually Mosky.
Mosky.
What's up, guys, man? You guys are a big freaking stars, man.
Ah, thanks, man.
Ah, dude, man, you guys, you know, make every day go by, you know, better, man. Anyway, just wanted to comment real quick on putting kids to sleep, man. You start praying to them, dude. Make them pray every single night, man.
And that puts them out?
That I remember when I was a kid, man, that knocked me the hell out, man.
Do you say the prayer in English or Spanish or...
Spanish or English, dude? It's universal, dude.
Give me an example of the prayer in Spanish.
Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado en los Sino, what's up, Sino? En los campos. Anyway,
muy
Padre
bien.
Nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado. You know, that's the Hail Mary.
That's muy bien.
Excellent. All right, then we'll take your advice into consideration. Perfect timing with that sound effect. All right, Jerry in San Diego, you're on 97.1.
How are you doing tonight?
Hey.
Hey, I have a little comment for the guy. I know you have a doctor there. And a
Dr.
comment
Sophie.
That called in.
I'm here.
How are you doing, doctor?
I'm good. How are you?
The guy that called in on his son playing baseball.
Right.
And forcing him to play. Being a coach for 17 years and doing from 6 years old to 15 and 16-year-old kids in our Pop Warner Junior All-America program.
Yeah.
I think I was surprised that you didn't tell him when he made the comment that he will soon like it.
Well,
doesn't that affect them? I saw it affect kids where their parents have forced them to do that, and then from the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, on up, and even when they get in their preteens, it's affected them when they force them to do that. I was surprised you didn't tell them that might not be the way to go.
Well, I didn't know that he really was forcing him. I think he's assuming that the kid likes it, and I don't know if the kid likes it because he said he's not athletic. And so I'm trying to be gentle about having him communicate with his son, and maybe his son can tell him.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
Jerry,
and
listen, Jerry.
He will learn to like it.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Well, maybe, you know what, maybe he will learn to like it, you know?
You know, but then when you ask him if he wanted to be a choreographer, he thought it was a joke. But, you know, then again, if the kid succeeds in anything in any kind, in my attitude, whether it be swimming, choreography, any kind of team sport or individual, it's going to make a better person all the way around.
Yeah, totally, but you know what? But you know how much more money you make if your son's a major league ball player than a choreographer?
But your kid has to be happy.
Kids. It's all about these kids.
Yeah, they have to be happy.
You got to push these kids into kind of a profession where you can retire off their dough.
Yeah, right.
That's the goal, huh? How old's your son?
Six. Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to see him become like a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys?
I would like to see him happy.
But let's say that made him happy. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
I mean, if two things were going to make him happy, he was going to be A, happy touring with the Peace Corps, touring around the world, or he's going to be really happy as the Dallas Cowboys either quarterback or running back. Wouldn't you rather see him living in Dallas?
I would rather him pick. I'm not doing that. I want a happy kid.
Right.
I think that coach is right.
Okay. All right, Dr. Sophie, everybody. You can check out his website, drsophy.com. So if your kid's giving you a lot of problems or your wife's giving you problems, or maybe you're the a-hole in the house. And a friend of mine always had a philosophy that the house is only as happy as the mother or the wife. Is that true?
The house is only as happy as whoever runs that house because the tone is set by them.
All right. Excellent. All right. I'm going to try to set that tone properly so I never meet you off the air. Because that's bad vibes if you're coming to my house.
That is bad.
All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. Thank you very much for coming by,
Thank
Dr.
You.
Sophie.
Anytime. Thank you.
You're a major stud, and we'll see you again. Dr. Sophie, S-O-P-H-Y. It's Conway and Whitman live at 97.1 Free FM.